Please stand in body or in spirit and turn roughly 90 to 180, I don't know, some number of degrees. We begin in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. Let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. Holy God, holy and merciful, holy and mighty, you are the river of life. You are the everlasting wellspring. You are the fire of rebirth. Glory to you for oceans and lakes, for rivers and streams. Honor to you for cloud and rain, for dew and snow. Your waters are below us, all around us, above us. Our life is born in you. You are the fountain of resurrection. Praise to you for your saving waters. Noah and his family survive the flood. Hagar discovers your well. The Israelites escape through the sea. They drink from your gushing rock. Naaman washes his leprosy, and the Samaritan woman will never be thirsty again. At this font, holy God, we pray. Praise to you for the water of baptism and for your word that saves us in this water. Breathe your spirit into all who are gathered here and into all of creation. Illumine our days, enliven our bones, dry our tears, wash away the sin within us and drown the evil around us. Satisfy all our thirst with your living water, Jesus Christ, our Savior, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Merciful God, the fountain of living water, you quench our thirst and wash away our sin. Give us this water always. Bring us to drink from the well that flows with the beauty of your truth through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
The first reading is from Exodus, the 17th chapter. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages, as the Lord commanded. They camped at Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you quarrel with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it so that the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please read Psalm 95 responsively with me. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. Let us make a joyful noise to him with songs of praise.
For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In his hand are the depths of the earth, the heights of the mountains are his also.
The sea is his, for he made it, and the dry land, which his hands have formed. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, and the sheep of his hand. Oh, that today you would listen to his voice. When your ancestors tested me and put me to the proof, though they had seen my work.
For 40 years I loathed that generation and said, "They are a people whose hearts grow straight, and they do not regard my ways."
Therefore, in my anger, I swore, "They shall never enter my rest." The second reading is from Romans, the 5th chapter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time God died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person. Though perhaps for a good person, someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to John, the 4th chapter.
Glory to you, O Christ.
So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. I'm going to pause there to invite you all to please sit down. This is an exceptionally long reading today. Thank you for standing. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, but those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us. Jesus said to her, I am he, the one who is speaking to you. Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, what do you want, or why are you speaking with her? Then the woman left her jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, come and see. Come and see the man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he? They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you do not know about. So the disciples said to one another, surely no one has brought him something to eat. Jesus said to them, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more than the time then comes the harvest? But I will tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored and you have entered into their labor. Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. He told me everything I have ever done. So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, it is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise to you, Christ.
You may remain seated. Man, tough crowd today. This is going to be a rough sermon. So there's like 100 sermons in here, by the way, from this one. Like, I didn't even notice this before. It says Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans, and yet they're talking about a well that was given to them by Jacob. It's like, I'm pretty sure you share a common ancestor there. Just say. I have to go grab something. I want you all to prayerfully consider if you want to help in the sermon today. I need one person. Strong-ish person. Okay. I'll take you up on it. But you have to wait. Uh-oh. Don't tell the janitor. It's a little cleaner than Cheerios, but I did get little bits of stuff on the floor. Huh? There's running water. So far today, I have done many things with water. I have made some coffee with water. I have filled my water bottle with ice made from water and more water. I have taken a shower in water. I flushed a toilet filled with water after getting rid of some of yesterday's water. That's what they're for. Come on, Ann. Why are you shaking your head at me? It's what they're for. I washed my hands after that using soap and water. And then I brushed my teeth and rinsed down all of the toothpaste with water. I put some clothes on that were washed in, very likely not by me, by the way. They were washed in, you guessed it, some detergent and some water. But guess what? This water, it was piped directly into my house, wasn't it? Yes, it was. I did not have to walk a half mile to a well outside of the city and hoist the water out of that well with a rope and dump it into my bucket and then carry that bucket home, did I? But this was the life of the Samaritan woman at the well. Each day it was the same thing. Maybe multiple times a day, go get the water. 3 gallons, 4 gallons, 5 gallons at a time. It just depended on how big your jar was. And trust me, the jars were made out of clay. They were not as light as my 5 gallon bucket made out of plastic. Bought at Walmart yesterday. And tomorrow, or maybe even later in the same day, do it all again, because water is life. All right, George, you volunteered, get on up here. I need someone to carry some water for me. And by that, I don't mean preach the rest of the sermon. I just need you to carry some water for me. So go ahead, hold this bucket. But I need you to hold it in a specific way. I need you to hold it out like this for me. with your good arm. All right, go ahead and stand over there. So, remember, water is life. So water isn't optional. If you need to drink, guess what? Water. If you need to wash clothes, water. If you need to cook, water, wait, and then if you run out of water, guess what? You go back to the well, more water. He's shaking a little bit. All right, you can hold it to your side if you would like. Okay, I still need you. Water is life. You carry this water day after day, week after week, year after week, year in the water, which, by the way, weighs 8 pounds per gallon of water. It just gets heavier and heavier and heavier with each full bucket of water. You good? So were the three kids that held it in the other church. They all three held it. Anyway, as the story of the Samaritan woman and Jesus unfolds, we quickly realize that the woman is hauling with her more than just water on her trips to and from this well each day, isn't she? First of all, why is she there at noon in the heat of the day? Most women, they travel to the well in the morning and in the evening. And yet here she is preparing to carry 50 pounds of water, probably a half a mile, in the sweltering heat. And second of all, why is she there alone? The women, by the way, they are the ones who go get the water, and this is known to kind of be a respite for them. They get away from all of the men. They go out there. They hang out. It's a gathering place, but it seems not to be the case for her. Perhaps she must come to the well at noon because that's when no one else is there. And after some initial back and forth with Jesus, he says to her, go, call your husband and come back. And then it all starts to fall into place. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you are correct. You've had 5. And the man you live with now is not your husband. The bucket she carries seems to be weighted down by more than just a little bit of water. Throw in some regrets, maybe some shame, some humiliation. Throw in some of the whispers that come and with each and every one of these rocks, the whispers that bring her to this well alone. And then, of course, the loneliness that she feels, the loneliness that comes with each and every one of these whispers. Go ahead and hold that out again. I tried. See, I couldn't do this earlier. That's impressive. Okay. Thank you, George. water? Man, he offloaded some of his water. See? Here's the thing. Jesus, I didn't know that, but Jesus did. Jesus sees the whole bucket. He knew a water was missing. Jesus sees the whole bucket, sees everything in this bucket, and he knows how heavy this bucket is. And guess what he doesn't do? He doesn't add to her shame. He doesn't admonish her. He simply has a conversation with her. He provides space for her to name a painful truth that has for too long weighed her down. What he does do is he offers a gift. He offers a gift of living water. He instead teaches her. He instead reveals himself to her. He says, I am he. I am the Messiah. I am the one that you are waiting for. The one who is speaking to you right now. I am he. Even though I know everything that you carry with you in that bucket, I'm speaking to you anyway. The woman, when she hears these final words, she leaves the well. And what else does she leave? She leaves the bucket. It sits right there at the well. The whole reason she came in the first place, she leaves the bucket. The whole bucket, by the way, the water, the regret, the shame, the broken relationships, the whispers, the loneliness she carries. And she goes back to the city. She carries nothing with her. She's filled instead now with living water. And how do we know she's carried with filled with living water at this point? How do we know that she's left all of that stuff behind? Because of what she does next. She does not retreat to her home when she goes back. She does not go back to the shadows away from the other women. She does not go back to the margins. Where does she go? She goes to where there are people. Doesn't say what people, but she just goes and she finds people and she says to them, come and see. She invites them to receive a gift that she has just been given. She says, come and see a man who has told me everything I have ever done. I have to admit, this next part is not an original thought of mine. Anna Carter Florence suggests that there is something left unsaid in this woman's proclamation. For all of like 800 verses that I read today, there is one little part that's left unsaid, but it's there. Come and see the man who has told me everything I have ever done and loves me anyway. Come and see the man who has told me everything I have ever done and loves me anyway. He loves me anyway. This right there is what has freed her from all of her junk and all of her trauma and all of her brokenness that has been loaded into that bucket. The stuff that she's been lugging to and from that well each day, every day, for years alone. It's what has freed her to go out and tell everyone she knows about the living water that has refreshed her and has restored her to new life. There are some other people in this story, right? My dear church-going siblings in Christ who long to be faithful disciples of Christ, we typically try to model ourselves after, I don't know, like Peter and James and John and all those disciples, right? They're the models. There is no Saint Samaritan woman at the well, is there? There is a Saint Peter. He even has a big basilica. But no Saint woman at the well. But guess what? When they come back from the city, do they bring anyone new with them? Do they bring any Samaritans with them to meet Jesus? Do they have new followers? Do they have new believers with them to meet Jesus? Anyone? No? No, they don't. But this woman, who is unburdened from everything she has ever done, says, come and see, and many of the followers there in that city believe in Jesus from her testimony alone, they have never seen Jesus, and yet they have come to believe based on her testimony alone. And based on her testimony, others do come and see. They go out and see Jesus. They invite him in. They hear his word, and they too come to believe. And they say, oh, well, we don't believe because we heard you. We believe because we've seen him now. But why have you seen him? Because she said, come and see. This is her witness. And it's a witness that bubbled forth, that sprung forth from her knowing that she has been freed from all of this crap. Who among us does not lug around buckets and backpacks and dump trucks full of rocks just like these? Buckets full of regret and shame and loneliness and humiliation and broken relationships and the whispers that come along with each and every one of these just ugly rocks. To you I say, just come and see. Come and see how loved you are. Come and see the man who knows you, who knows us, each and every one of our ugly rocks that we carry, and loves us anyway. Come and see him. It is from this place that our Christian witness bubbles up and springs forth. Our Christian witness bubbles up and springs forth from this truth that he loves us anyway. And this love, his love, it is an unburdening love. It unburdens us. It frees us to say, come and see. Come and see to all who need to meet Jesus out at that well. And all need to meet Jesus at the well. So as we go forth from this place today, as we go forth and we tell this story, as we tell our story, as we tell the story of Jesus Christ, at some point, I guarantee you, we will look back and we will see a bucket of water and rocks just sitting there. And we will realize it's a bucket that we no longer have to carry, because we know that despite anything and everything in our bucket and all of the junk that sits there, he loves us anyway. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you.
ascended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Are there additional prayers this morning? Tom?
Tom Allen.
Tom Allen. Oh, wow. Of course. And Mike Spade passed away, so we will be praying for his family and friends. Let us pray. Reconciled by God's mercy and sustained by God's presence, let us pray for the world and its needs.
Water scarcity deepens hunger and conflict. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. When your people thirst, satisfy their needs. Send water and food to all who need nourishment. Grant welcome to all who are excluded. Show your mercy to any in need, especially the family and friends of Mike, for Devin, Chuck, Jack, for Tammy, Doug, Keith, Clint, Barb, Linda, Ed, for Martha, for Tom, and for those on our long-term homebound assisted living and limited mobility prayer list, and for all who we name either aloud or in the silence of our hearts. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Hear us, O God.
Your mercy is great. Receive our prayers, O God, through Jesus Christ, who is our strength and our salvation. Amen.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
Please share a sign of God's peace.
I feel as if we've gone off the rails and it is now time. Let us continue worship with our gifts and our offerings.
Of heaven and earth, Your steadfast love embraces all creation. You send rain and sunshine to nourish the earth and bring forth its bounty. Through these gifts of bread and wine, draw us into the death and life of your Son, who calls us to bear witness to his saving work. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism we come to the fullness of your grace. And so, with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus Christ took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me. Again, after supper, he took the cup. He gave thanks, and he gave it for all to drink, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come to the table. Feast on God's goodness and mercy. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you. You are such a beloved child of God. You're four? No, you're not. Since when? Broken for you. This is the body of Christ broken for you.
Thank you.
And now may the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. God of our salvation, we give you thanks for this meal that restores our souls, reconciles us to you, and strengthens us for the journey. Through the body and blood of your Son, may we become Christ's body in the world, bearing witness to your love for all creation, through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. All right, let's see. Here it is. Christ in our King. Large print. So, for like as long as I've been here, we've ordered 10 of the small ones and like 5 of the big ones. And so if you specifically would like a big one, maybe because you find that one easier to read. I don't know why that would be. But if you want one of the large ones specifically, please reach out to Teresa. Please reach out to the church office and let her know. And we will adjust our order to get more of the big ones. It seems like those ones go much quicker than the smaller ones. So, please let Teresa know if you would like a large one of those. Grief Share. So they had sent us a letter letting us know that that's starting back up. So I wanted to make sure I brought that back to our attention here. I know Kathy continues to be involved in that, right? So I know many here have found that it is a wonderful program. So that will start again on Monday, March 16th. It's 6:30 to 8:30 at St. Paul United Methodist Church by the hospital. If you have questions about that, just ask Kathy. She can answer any of them. This week we have council, yay. Any other announcements? Yes. This Wednesday, and that was in the bulletin over at St. Paul. And if you get a call, that's why you're getting a call from there. Also, if there are any folks who are interested in crocheting or knitting, if that's your thing, when is that?
Last Tuesday of every month at seven
is prayer shawl. So they're looking for some folks for that as well. Anything else? All right. So we've got some new folks collecting money. So anyway, help her with that.
Might be
all
fun.
Right. And with that, please stand in body or in spirit for a blessing. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. Amen. 1 minute, real quick. Last announcement is the flowers up front today are from Mary Lou Griebling's funeral. There were some additional flowers out in the back. If anyone wants those flowers, please feel free to take them home. But anyway, we thank Mary Lou's family for leaving those with us today for worship. Now you can go.
Thank you.
start by saying Jesus loves us anyway. He meets us at the well. Go forth then, proclaiming the living water from which we drink.